Chinwag with Sister Bang Bang. Welcome along to Chinwag with yours truly, Sister Bang Bang of the Manchester Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. Stand by for lots of malicious gossip, wicked chit-chat,
and nothing but the whole truth.
No way.
It's Chinwag with Sister Bang Bang.
What's more?
Today's show contains words of wisdom, sublime words, and rude words too. So if you're of a nervous disposition, fly away, my pretty. If, however, you're made of sterner stuff, then settle back for another fabulous edition of...
Well, hello, kids. How's life with you? I have to say that I've been up to so much recently, including a little sojourn eastwards to the fair city of Berlin. What have you been up to there, Bang Bang, I hear you ask? And what an answer I have. So what do you get when you take the capital of Germany and throw in around 70 sisters of perpetual indulgence from all over the world and arrange all sorts of seminars, events and juicy talks? It's the Sisters Conclave 2016, that's what! We met up to discuss the serious issues of being a sister, and threw in some outrageous days out and crazy nights helping boys and girls to party. Right at the end of the 10 days, though, I managed to speak with just a few of the sisters who attended, so let's get right into it. Who's the first one on Chinwag today?
I am Sister Suzette from Berlin.
Sister Suzette, you have been like the head person here, haven't you, for the whole conclave?
Yes.
Why did you get involved in it in this way?
Oh, I've heard about conclaves. I've never had the chance to go to one. And now we had plans to host a conclave in this year, in the year of our 25th anniversary, for so long. And I just thought it would be so exciting to have all these sisters here. And I wanted to make it a good experience for everyone.
We've come to the end of Conclave today. It's the last day. What is the one memory that will stick out most for you?
I suppose the day on the town in Fez was the most memorable day. When we went all about town in Fez, 50 sisters, all of us, and we took a train, we took rickshaws, we took the bus, and we walked, and it was so much fun.
It was crazy, wasn't it?
It was
just so memorable. What do you reckon sisters get from a conclave?
I think the most important thing is that you see that there are so many sisters in other places and you can connect with them and you feel that they are doing what you're doing, and it's so inspiring and so empowering.
It is, isn't it? It's sort of, it's not just friends, it's swapping notes, it's swapping experiences.
Being sisters is different. It's more than just friends.
Yeah.
Sisters are friends, but it's more, it's this calling that we all have.
Yeah. How long have you been a sister?
I became a sister on Easter Saturday of 2007.
So that's what?
9 years.
9 years.
Yes. 10 years next year.
Well, another party here in Berlin.
Of course.
Well, listen, from me, especially me, Sister Bang Bang, thank you so much indeed for organising this. It has been an amazing experience for me, and I know it is for a lot of the other sisters as well. You have done such a lot of hard work in this, and we really do appreciate it.
Thank you very much. It was my pleasure. I really love doing it.
Chinwag with Sister Bang Bang.
My name is Sister Gaia Love from Los Angeles, California.
You've traveled a long way. Has it been worth it?
Oh my gosh, totally. Totally worth it, yes.
What's the bit that's stuck out most for you on this conclave?
Oh my gosh, so many things. Meeting all the different sisters from the different cities around the world. Being able to connect with them culturally, how we do things, how we stay out till 6 a.m. in the morning, just having a grand old time. Oh my gosh, yeah, so many things that have stuck out to me. Yeah, just how we've all come together to celebrate this wonderful thing that started 36 years ago, I think it is now, and how we keep it going today.
A lot of people do tend to see the sisters as being a load of hedonistic painted whores, really, don't they?
They're not too off base.
For a conclave, though, what have you learned that is other than being a painted whore?
Ooh, that's a deep one. I've learned how we can take all of our differences and our beliefs and bring them to one common singularity, one common goal of bringing people happiness, bringing people joy, no matter what the different backgrounds they come from.
It's a sort of amalgamation of skills and experience and love and caring and everything.
Yeah.
How long have you been a sister now?
I'm coming up on my 6-year anniversary of being with the sisters, yeah.
So what drew you into being this fabulous sister Gaia?
Oh, my. Well, so I always had this connection with spirituality, though I didn't know how to define it. I was raised in the Lutheran Church, but I never really defined with it. I studied philosophy and world religion as I went through my education to try and define myself and everything. And I never really found quite that answer, but I knew I had a pull to some sort of calling. And it was on a day that I was riding my bicycle through the park that I just happened to come across a group of the sisters. And I was just immediately, what is this? I need to know what this is, what's going on. So I watched from a distance. I didn't quite engage them at the time. I stalked them for a good year and a half to get an idea of what this group was, what this amazing fabulousness was. The stone polished in my head as I watched and learned all this stuff about them. I decided to join up. It was my way of paying my rent in life.
That's a cute way of putting it.
Yeah. We all have to pay our rent for our time here, to all these causes, these communities we help and support, and yeah.
What do you reckon is the one thing that people don't realize about the sisters?
That we are religious. We aren't religious. We have some sisters that are devout Catholics. We have some sisters that are devout Hindus. And I think so many of them, many people, I would think that we're just, like you said earlier, hedonistic pigs in a way. But many of us are deeply spiritual, are deeply religious, and we find this call to all that.
Last abiding memory, as we're on the last day of Conclave.
So the hospitality of the Germans was amazing. I had so many people tell me, "Oh, Germans are rude. Berlin is rude. You're not gonna like it there." And I have two favorite memories. I really can't say one of the others better. But we were out drinking in one of the pubs one night, and we realized it's like 4 a.m. And we asked the bartender, like, "What time do you close?" Simple word says, "Later. You drink." So while we were drinking, he didn't want to close while we were drinking. So we were like, okay. And that was a great fun memory because it was mostly sisters at the time. My other favorite memory was when we took the rickshaw ride on the day around town. All the different sisters in the back of those bicycles just flying down Brandenburg Gate and around those areas, and the looks on people's faces as we rode by, and then as we hung out there around the Brandenburg Gate and everything. That was definitely a great memory for me.
Don't touch that dial. Sister Bang Bang.
Spoiling it for everyone.
It is Chinwag with Sister Bang Bang, and I am here in Berlin for this extra special version because it's a sisters' conclave where we all get together. Well, there's quite a lot of us get together once a year. I am so privileged, actually, to be sat with two sisters from the San Franciscan House, which is the very first house that was created way back in 1979.
Sister Angelina Holy from San Francisco.
I'm Sister Edith My Flesh.
I look up to those founding sisters in the same way. I think that they stumbled upon a really magical and beautiful thing that is amazing that it still lives today, and it's thriving, and it's world-changing. So it's amazing for all of us to be a part of it.
Our founding members, I know the three living ones, I've met them all. I have lovely things to say about all of them. I think that we need to take what they started and realize that, like any other cultural movement, like any other anything, it grows and it evolves and it changes and it becomes something else. It was very interesting to me. So at our 25th anniversary in San Francisco, I was abbess at the time, and it was very, like, one of my most rewarding experiences for the sisters to be in the abbess, which is a very controversial word in our house. Until I explained to them, it just means mom. So you're the mom of the house. But it was to being the abbess during our 25th. all these sisters from the past started coming out. It was a celebration because media, because whatever reasons. And my mother, again, Sister Lily White, superior posterior, who's been a nun for a very long time, said, you realize that you have been an active sister for longer than all of them combined. Because in our early years, as I mentioned, it was very radical fairy. It was very fluid. And a lot of sisters came in and out very quickly. During the early part of our years, Sister Dana Viniquity, bar none, actually became a sister because they needed the color yellow and the rainbow flag. And so they made her a sister for the day, and she stuck around.
I love that.
Yeah. They still do, much to our dismay, and New York is still very ad hoc like that. And it's not that we don't love that and appreciate that, but when you have a corporation and a trademark, federal government doesn't understand those things. But I would say for San Francisco, it needs to be like any... I see it as an extension of what we do for our community. Best example I have, a brand new sister, novice, I think. Someone comes up to me, they're like, oh my God, sister, thank you so much for all the work you do. And I had the same reaction of like, well, who the hell am I? I just got here. And then I realized, oh, they're thanking all of us all the way back down the line for all the work that, oh, that means I have to, A, live up to that standard, and B, make sure that we're still respected. And I think, you know, again, because of who we are, I don't think the sisters would ever want a global leadership making rules all across the world. I can't even imagine. Like, we do a really good job of just trying to maintain some consistency in the United States. I think we're up to 42 houses there now. And it's basically, I think, 8 volunteers who coordinate all of that and make sure that things are going the way they need to. And I can't even imagine how we would look as a global order. There's a part of me that still, when we formed, we call it the UNPC, the United Nuns Privy Council. And when we formed it, I had kind of had this dream that we would have, like, as part of a conclave, we would get together as a body and maybe not necessarily decide rules, but maybe policy or direction or common voice and tone. I still have that dream in my heart. I doubt we'll ever get there just because we are such a band of misfits who can be very contrarian just for the sake of being contrarian at times. But no, I think a lot of us in San Francisco are very aware of our duty to represent and to be a role model for the other houses, in the sense that, you know, we have been there for so long. We do we did kind of lead the pathway, but also I would say again, you know, we're not infallible. We're not perfect by any means.
Well, we're all humans.
Genau. So, you know, I appreciate that we're respected, but even the term mother house kind of makes me twinge a little bit. I honor and respect that it's literally true, but, you know, to Sister Angelina's point, those 4 people got together as a goof, basically. I mean, it was a joke. That's really how it started. And in some ways, you can draw parallels to, like, the Discordians. And so I'm just glad that we've turned it into something that's been positive and productive and amazing for people.
I'm Sister So Am I. You know, one of those. So am I, Sister. So am I. And I'm here to welcome you tonight, this afternoon, this morning, to Chinwag.
Hello, I'm Sister Katarina from the Berlin House. I'm just an ordinary, everyday sister taking part in this wonderful conclave. Even more, I'm a retired sister, so I've retired in 2011, and now only manifesting when I'm in the mood. But, of course, the international conclave for the 25th anniversary of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence in Berlin is the best reason ever to manifest and to go out and meet sisters from all around the world, to see sisters again I've met before, to meet new sisters.
What is a conclave?
A conclave is a gathering of people. It's a religious term used in the church. So when the congregate gathers, that's a conclave.
We certainly have congregated a lot in many different ways, haven't we?
Yes, absolutely, from what I've heard.
Yeah. Don't try the sweet innocent with me now. What's the best memory of the last 11 days then for you?
The best memory. Oh, that's a good question. So there are so many really good memories. I can hardly nail down like one specific point. It was the thing itself is so great, and meeting other people and seeing the work of the sisters from so many different perspectives and exchanging with others and having fun together, learning from each other. The experience itself is the best.
It's much deeper than that, isn't it?
This? Absolutely. It is so much more. It is so much more because you get in personal contact with people, and Facebook is just the surface. It's just a glimpse of what people do during their everyday life, and to really meet them in person.
But obviously there's a lot of stuff we do that we're never dressed up for, that we do a lot of work quietly.
What I found out very quickly and what impresses people is that there's so much more. As you just said, there's so much work in the background, and there's so much more to sisters than just walking around in fancy dresses with a nicely painted face. The people see us as sisters, as the figure of the helping person, and that comes along with a nun's habit. So people come to you with all their problems and with all the things that happen in their everyday lives, and come up to you and ask for support. And that's one of the major aspects of being a sister of perpetual indulgence, is that being together with the community and serving the community in every respect.
My name's Brother Bimbo Del Doppio Senso from Edinburgh, except in Germany when I'm stressed a bear trap.
What's been Conclave like for you?
It's been a learning experience that sisters are human. And I thought it was only my convent and that everybody else was this wonderful gliding swan of beauty. Yeah. I've not been on my best behaviour, neither has anyone else. Oh. So,
what's been the shining light in terms of the whole conclave, something which has made you put a smile on your face?
I had my 50th birthday on the day that we did our walk around town in habit, and they made sure that the appropriate public humiliation was done.
I don't think it was just the one, was it, though? Was there a couple?
Well, yeah, they also successfully organised a piss-up in the brewery for me.
But it was
Sister Daphne, one of the Berlin sisters. It's her 40th as well.
What's it like for you, being a sister? What is the core to it?
That's a really difficult question. There is this whole sense of community service, which is great, and going out there and seeing people smile. And there's been more of that in Berlin than there is in Edinburgh. You know, people who don't know who the sisters are see the sisters and you just see a big smile come on their face. Whereas in Britain, you see this... So actually being able to bring joy to people just by being there has been great.
Mm.
The German sisters have a thing that they all learn about explaining what the sisters are in German, and before I go, I'm going to ask them for a copy.
Is this your first conclave, then?
No, it's my third. My first one was the first Berlin one, which was... How long ago was that?
2004, first conclave.
And then I didn't do one for ages, and then a few years ago it was in Portland in Oregon.
Right.
And I went to that one, and that was... Because the first Berlin conclave was tiny and intense. Yeah, we were all basically based in this one little room and very intense discussions, and every minute seemed to be have something on the schedule. Portland was much... It was over 100 sisters.
Right, wow.
And that was a totally different experience. And typical sort of West Coast laid-back workshops.
And how has this one differed?
It's interesting to see, just because this is a reasonably large conclave.
Okay.
I think it was 65.
No, you're okay. We've just got a sister who's leaving.
Oh, yeah. Name and where you're from.
Sister Flora Goodtime from San Francisco.
You're going straight away to the airport, are you?
No, we're here till Friday. And then I'm going to Malta.
Oh.
But I got to go in the car right now because it's here. I love you guys. I'll see you soon.
That was very fast. That is so sisterly, though, isn't it, in a way?
Trying to say goodbye to everybody. Well, some of the Americans have been using it as an excuse to tour Europe.
Next conclave. Any news about that, do you know?
San Diego next year.
And are you booked onto it already?
No, it's going to be even hotter than here.
Well, yeah, at least they've got a beach nearby, though, haven't they?
I'm mostly looking for... Because the sisters will be 40 at Easter 2019. And I'm saving my pennies for that.
Right.
Because they'll have a big celebration in San Francisco.
I'm not sure we'll surface at the end of that particular conclave.
Do you fancy a right good night out?
An eye full of comedy, glamour and camp?
Well, make a date, the Village Show Bar.
You'll love our outrageous entertainment.
Lots of drink promotions and, of course, your in-house show team.
Oh, and don't forget the American-style cuisine. The Village Show Bar.
Right opposite Churchill's. See you there.
The Village Show Bar.
Hi friends, it's Sister Indica, your homegirl for life. Not only am I gorgeous, not only am I a sister of perpetual indulgence, but I'm also host of the podcast Joy Bomb. I rant and rave about pop culture, politics, music, TV, and more. I interview all sorts of interesting people and play underground music you probably don't know but should. So what's stopping you? Subscribe on iTunes.
Joy Bomb.
If it's good enough for Sister Bang Bang, it's good enough for you.
Are you receiving us, Earth? Are you receiving us, Earth?
Malicious gossip, wicked chit-chat, and nothing but the whole truth. It's Chinwag with Sister Bang Bang. Goodbye.
My name is Sister Barbichka, Colgate Mercedes, and I am from the Berlin OSPI house.
Another Berliner, because we're in your home city. And we've been made so welcome. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Wonderful that you came out.
Are you one of the organisers? You certainly seem to have an organising sort of hat on for the conclave.
Well, not for the conclave specifically, but I ran the shifts for Folsom. So Folsom was a bit of my baby.
There's been loads of good bits. Anything that really stood out for you during the conclave here?
I could not attend the workshops all. I just went to one workshop. I don't know, maybe it started too early, the workshops or so, that many people couldn't attend it because Berlin has attractions at night. So if you want to get up early in the morning and have a workshop, that's really hard for some people, including me.
Including me. Yes. But no, the greatest thing, though. The best thing?
The best thing, I think the day on the town was absolutely fabulous. And my personal highlight was the energy circle to close the sisters' activities at the Folsom Street Fair. Standing in the middle of that circle with all the sisters around me, that was, like, I must say, the best moment since I got my black veil.
All right.
Yeah.
As they say, could you feel the energy?
I could. I'm still getting goosebumps.
Oh, fantastic. But it's a lot more than friends, isn't it? Things are going on a lot deeper between all of us.
Yeah, it's more. We're sisters. We're not friends. We're sisters, and sisters are family. So I regard everybody here as part of my family, and that's why I open my house to people I have maybe never met before, and they're asking for a space to crash, and I say, well, here's your key, here's a fridge that you can use, and sometimes there's even something in it, and here's the couch or the bed that you can use for the next whatever. I trust you completely because you are my sister, you're family. So there is a bond between people, and we're all doing the same work in the whole world, so we have a base, a solid base that we can go from, and so I think it's special, and we're more than friends.
Yeah. How long have you been a sister now?
I'm turning 12 now.
12, that's pretty good going, isn't it? 12 years.
I'm getting one of those old girls, yeah.
I have to have a medal for long service.
Yeah, for bravery.
Outside of Conclave, what's one of the most heartfelt memories that you've had being a sister?
Oh, there are so many, and some are a bit blurred, but...
And the nighttime memories.
Yes, mostly. I think my first life ball in Vienna was one of those events that I will never, ever forget, because it was unbelievable.
Tell us about what it is.
Life Ball is the biggest AIDS charity event in Europe. It raises millions and millions. It's in Vienna, Austria, and it is just a breathtaking event. They always have a motto, last year it was gold, so we all dressed up in gold.
I bet that was hard and difficult, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Glitter, oh dear, don't we do glitter, do we? If somebody's interested in becoming a sister, as a lot of people are more and more, especially after Conclave, what's the couple of bits of advice that you would give them?
it's a calling. Becoming a sister is not that you get a hobby. It's not that you enhance your drag career or meeting friends or whatever, or cope with your own problems. It is something that you do for other people. As vain as we are, it is something that you do for other people, for the community. So you have to be willing to give. And I ask everybody who has the wish or is feeling I could become a sister, do really get together with the sisters, ask them, watch them, and not only for one night's event, just for some time. It took me like over a year always seeing the sisters out and about and talking to them and meeting them, and also in out of face then and sit together seeing, is that something for me? Because I've never done drag, or I have rarely done drag before, like really bad, but so I'm not the typical like yay girlish thing who has done a huge makeup before, and so I really had to check for myself, is that something for me? And that is what I suggest to everybody, to do that before. Is that really, really something for me?
This is Sister Lorna from the DFW Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence in Dallas, Texas.
And lovely to see you. We've seen quite a lot of you buzzing around over the conclave.
You know, a lot of people have seen quite a lot of me this week.
Read into that what you like.
The highlight would definitely be, I think, our day on the town, just running around, looking...
Everybody's saying yeah, the day on the town.
Yeah, looking at the expressions on everyone's faces when we came by. Some of them just staring, just like, what? And then others just wanting to come up, take a picture and laugh and have fun.
And of course, for you Americans, it's one of the few times you actually get the chance to feel like a member of royalty.
Well, we, in Dallas, we're all queens, so...
You really get to flap the hand outside the window, don't you?
Well, occasionally we do. A little bit of Drag and Lady Earring Company jewelry on there too, you know. That's our crown jewels.
So this is the conclave. This is where we get together. This is where we discuss lots of serious things as well as makeup tips and hints as going out on the town. But what is essentially being a sister for you?
For me, it's about making people happy, making them laugh, making them smile, forget about their troubles, even if it's just for a few hours. Just bringing joy. That's what it's really about, bringing joy and making people feel good about themselves.
Can you give us an example of how you would do that in your house?
Oh, gosh. Sometimes we'll do get involved with little drag shows with other nonprofit organizations. We'll do a number, you know, just a funny comedic number, something, a little bit of satire, you know, just to make people laugh. Now and then, one of our sisters held a sort of a fundraiser, just kind of a meet the community thing, where we just gave people hugs on the side of the street. We would go to the corner and we'd offer someone a hug. They could have free hugs, and we would just, you know, talk to them. They could tell us they were having troubles and express themselves however they wanted to. If they're not familiar with us, we'll come up and talk anyway, usually. They want a picture. They want to know what we're doing. They want to know if we're with Cirque du Soleil. We don't just go out to a bar and have a drink. We don't just run around town and just wave at people. I mean, we do fundraisers for aid service organizations. We promote happiness and emotional healing. We care for the community. We promote safe sex. And not only just safe sex, prevention as well, like with PrEP, Truvada. A lot of us, if not, I don't want to say all, but I believe that many of the sisters are very pro-PrEP. We believe it's a good thing. And it's another prevention method that we have. So something else in our tool chest, not just condoms, because many people don't like to use condoms. I see more and more frequently barebacking, which, you know, if that's your thing, more power to you. Just make sure you're taking care of yourself. And you shouldn't feel guilty for barebacking. I mean, you should be taking care of yourself, going to clinics or your doctor, getting regular checkups, making sure your health is where it needs to be.
Great advice there as well. It's the sort of thing that we are very active in, isn't it, as sisters? It's the engaging with people and making sure that actually you can do anything you want as long as you do it right.
Well, exactly. That's my thing. If you feel ashamed, there's a problem. You need to feel happy. Don't be ashamed of the things you do. Don't be ashamed of how you look, how you dress, your voice, even your mannerisms. I mean, if you're effeminate, and be a happy, effeminate person. If you're masculine, be masculine. Enjoy who you are.
Which is one of those two that you are?
It depends on the day of the week.
Oh, guys, it's just a guy's here.
Every day that ends in day.
Every day that ends in day, I'm flamboyant.
Even today, actually, where we're not actually made up, and I can still see gold spreading down your nose.
Well, your that may not be from makeup. It may be from the bumper of a car. I don't know.
Right.
It's been a long week.
The next one is in America, isn't it? The next conclave.
Yes, the next one is in San Diego, California. I don't recall the exact date.
Mid-November. I think November 11th is what they're focusing on as their anniversary. So it's in that in around that week of November 11th, 2017 in San Diego.
The two of you just sat here, though. It just reminds me that you have come so far. You have traveled thousands of miles to come to Berlin. Why not just go so far? I'll wait till next year. Sister Gaia.
Oh, my gosh, because I've been to many U.S. conclaves. This is my first international conclave. It's a whole piece of the puzzle that I have never experienced before. And so you can do things in your own country, but you're missing out on a whole different perspective. We're a global order. We should reach out and do these things globally if you have those means. And when the Berlin Sisters announced that they were doing this several years ago, I mean, I highlighted it on my calendar. I was so excited and looking forward to doing it, to taking my ministry elsewhere, to experiencing how you in Manchester and the sisters in Germany and the sisters in Paris and Toulouse and all these other cities do their things and just experience that. So, yeah, I wouldn't want to miss this.
I was exactly in the same mode of thought when I saw the conclave announcement for Berlin. Oh, gosh, it was over a year ago. I said, I am going to this. The Berlin House was very instrumental in helping the Dallas-Fort Worth sisters get on their feet after they reformed in 2010. Actually, this month, September of 2010, this week. So this week is actually our 6-year anniversary in Dallas-Fort Worth. That was another big thing for me. Like I said, the sisters helped us in our reformation. The sisters in Berlin, they were willing to let us use their wimple, their headpiece model, after we reformed, until we could establish our own headpiece, our own wimple, our own coronet. And that was a big step for us, so we are very grateful for them. So that was one of the big reasons I wanted to come, just to say thank you to the Berlin House from the Dallas-Fort Worth House, just to represent my house back in Texas. It's a wonderful city.
And the man.
Yes, and there might be some men. In fact, there's one walking by right now. But if only we had video.
You mentioned, Sister Lorna, the headpieces, which... we've seen a huge variety here, but there is actually something. Tell us a bit more about the importance of these wimples, these headpieces.
Well, for us, for the worldwide order, of course, we see these. Like I see when a sister from San Francisco, and I notice their wimple, you know, the little ear brassier look. For instance, Seattle also with their donut, as I call it. I think they refer to it also as the donut. But you're able to tell a house apart. But of course, some of us will gift another house or another member of a house our own wimple, and they can wear that as they choose.
Sister Gaia, what is the shape of your particular wimple?
So ours, for one, for Los Angeles, the house that I'm in now. I came up and professed in the San Diego house. Their headpiece was based on the first mission in San Diego. One thing, especially in the United States, each house kind of, when a house forms, one of the things they have to do is design their headpiece. And so each house, their headpiece has a sort of a tie or some sort of symbolism to their community, to their city, the things they do. So the two that I wear, that I've worn while I was here, I wore my San Diego because I lent out my LAs to some people who had lost their luggage, whose luggage was misplaced. So I was, good thing I packed two, so we had plenty to wear. The Los Angeles, we call it the Hoobie Doobie. You can spell that 20 different ways.
Tell us the history of the name.
So there is a history behind the name, and I'm afraid I'm going to tell you the wrong history. Sister Candy Side or Sister Unity will be the best for that. As far as I know, it was just something that came up in a meeting one day as a joke. Nobody could think of something to call it, so like... whatchamacallit, a thingamajig. Somebody said hoobie-doobie, and the name stuck. So that there really is nothing behind Hoobie Doobie.
But it's still fabulous.
It just spilled out of somebody's mouth, and that stuck. It made its way into the meeting minutes, and from that point on, and the joke was, well, how do we spell that? So they've come up with 20 different spellings for Hoobie Doobie. If you read everything, it's never spelt the same way twice, and that's one of our inner jokes. But it's loosely based off of and represents sort of the Hollywood Bowl in Los Angeles. If you look at pictures of the Hollywood Bowl, you'll see it's quite similar. If it was originally intended that way, nobody knows for sure, but it sure looks like it, and that's the story we stick with.
Well, thank you both for joining us on Chainwag today.
I'm leaving for Amsterdam tomorrow, so I still have a little bit of time left on my holiday.
You're doing the European theme park ride, aren't you?
Yes, exactly. Yep.
Yes.
And Eustace Lorna?
I plan on continuing the ministry this week. Many will be touched, and decisions will be made, and tongues will move in a mighty way.
Hey kids, you know that every episode of Chinwag is done completely free, doesn't cost a penny or a dime, and it's just one of the many ways that we sisters try and entice you to donate money to good causes. So, if you have a few pennies to spare, please go now to our website at www.themanchestersisters.org and just click on one of the donate buttons. Every tiny bit helps, and we rely on your generosity. So donate now at www.themanchestersisters.org. Thank you from the bottom of our goodly hearts.
You're listening to Sister Bang Bang's Chinwag.
Hello, my name is Sister Antisip. Patient. Of the rain, which really shouldn't be blamed, from the convent of Duneaton, Edinburgh, Scotland.
I think that's probably the longest introduction from anybody at this conclave. Hello, Sister Anne.
Hello, yes. Sister Bang Bang.
The conclave for you. What's the one serious thing which sticks out in your mind about it?
I think it's been how the message of what we do is translated by each house and how it's perceived and dealt with and how we actually integrate ourselves within each community that we touch and how we can actually share information to better ourselves within our communities, but at the same time respecting the boundaries of ministry that we have here within Europe, in the Americas, and everywhere else. Just being able to say to each nun, that's how you do a thing, this is how we do a thing, let us defend our own, and also good luck in your place. Mm. And that, I think, is the most important for me. Just respecting each nun, sharing so that we can all become stronger nuns, and the unity and actually just being around such amazing, amazing sisters. And each one of them inspires you in a different way.
Can you think of one thing that has inspired you, an example?
I saw a postulant drink lots and lots of red wine and get awfully ill, so I thought that I'd not imbibe so heavily. And there was also another sister who drank an awful lot of apple wine and made a hole in a wall. So I thought there's some choice life choices. Hey, Gaia.
It was a dink. It wasn't a hole, it was a dink.
You know, a dink is a small penis.
A small penis couldn't have fitted that hole in the wall.
Oh, I've seen some.
We're hijacking Anne's interview.
Yeah,
back to Anne.
And back to Anne, indeed. Thank you, darlings. Yes, what was your question?
I think you've answered that well. But what about some of the more fun aspects of Conclave? And there have been many. What's the one that sticks in your mind as the most fun, most exciting?
Most exciting thing. Today's been fairly exciting. I missed, you know, I got my date wrong. Coming.
This
back.
Let's get this. We're on the very last day of Conclave. This is the Sunday. We're sat here in a lovely cafe. It's our very last event together. We're at brunch, and Sister Anne was not due to be here, were you? Why is that, Sister Anne?
Well, I thought I'd book my travel for today when EasyJet informed me, just by reading paper, that actually my flight's tomorrow at the same time. But good dress rehearsal, went to plan. Yeah, I'm going to make sure I wear my coif as well when I go on that plane, because my headpiece just went...
yes, I mean, we've all giggled at that, and it's so lovely.
But the most, seriously, the most exciting thing about Conclave is meeting other sisters. Mm. I mean, it's... Ingleshire is a very, very small country, and then Scotland even smaller so, and you don't get to meet so many sisters, and, you know, we kind of have similar traditions, and although, you know, the Manchester House and the Edinburgh House, we have different traditions, but just seeing the wealth, like Sister Fagula coming around with a glitter pickle and a rubber chicken.
A glitter pickle and a rubber chicken.
Yeah. Oh, yes, which is encouraged in all the American houses, apparently. And I'm like, ooh!
And do tell, what does she do with the glitter...
pickled chicken.
Yes.
She blesses people. She blesses them and then blesses their breasts with a glitter pickle.
The glitter pickle. Yeah. I think it's something we could adopt quite fruitfully.
I think we should fruitfully adopt many things that we've learnt here. I know there's Sister Luno's quite fruitful. And I don't know who's that. Because, you know, what we do is a little bit kind of... Yeah, so I spend 2 hours...
Bonkers, yeah.
Yeah, I spend 2 hours becoming a drag nun to free people from their stigmatic guilt. And that's... On paper, you could get sectioned for less. But, but, you know...
I've never thought of it quite like that. But
indeed.
Yeah, go on.
But,
yeah.
You know, when there's a group of us... I think it's a great thing, and it's so reaffirming, and it fills me full of life and sparkle. And there's been a lot of sisters who have been in retirement in Berlin, and a lot of them have just gone boof, and they've come back because they've felt so alive.
Hello, dear. I'm Sister Jackie Moff of the Helping Hand from the Manchester House.
What sort of activities have you been up to while you've been here, though?
Oh, I've been to several of the workshops.
What did he do there? Can you tell us?
So we had a couple of the workshops they attended. One was on the connection between spirituality and the sisters, because obviously as the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence is not a religious order of nuns or a secular order of nuns, but often spirituality can come into the work of the sisters without it necessarily being religious. So it was really nice to have a discussion around that and to see what other people and other sisters bring into their work, and also to discuss how the gathered faithful are members of the general public might actually perceive the work that we do also. Also went to a very interesting conversation about, or a very interesting workshop about white face as well, which, although as a sister that doesn't do face, I found very interesting. And I also went to a workshop about tackling HIV and other sexually transmitted infections, and also about being positive about people's body image, and I think one of the things I want to take away from this conclave is the idea of championing positive body image and not body shaming. So it doesn't matter whether you're fat, whether you're thin, whether you're tall, whether you're short, whether you've got a beard or you're not. We should love and support our fellow human beings, and be more positive about other people's bodies.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's a very good message. Also, it's interesting when you were saying about all these different classes and everything, that this is more than a lot of people perceive. If people see, they will see us as be getting dressed up, as having a camp all time out and about. And this, I think, is important because it reflects our other side, doesn't it? The side that we do a lot of the hard work.
It does indeed, but I think the holy clown, if you like, Bang Bang, is just the door. It's that portal into the that allows us to open up and communicate with people. As one of the ever so lovely sisters from Portland in Oregon, Sister Donna Venuday, said, it's as sisters, it allows us to walk up to a table and hand out a condom or talk about STIs, when if you walked up in your regular everyday clothes, somebody would be like, who the hell are you and why have you come up to my table? Whereas as a sister, it opens that door to have that conversation.
How long have you been a sister now?
My first outing was in 2011. When I was a mere postulant, So yeah, I think it's coming on for 5 years now.
So. What do you reckon then, as a fully professed sister now, a black veil, that have you, the one thing that you've learned from this whole conclave that you take away with you?
I think the important thing is to celebrate our differences, but make sure that we are working together, make sure that we're communicating, and making sure that we are working together for the good of the sisters' message, but also the communities that we're supporting, and not getting drawn into too much of focusing on who we are and what we are, and focusing on the fact that we are the vessel to support other people and to help them grow and develop in their communities.
Hey, yes, you! You want to find out more about the Manchester Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, don't you? The history, how to join us, and hundreds of hints and tips for a good night out. Well, not hundreds, but certainly quite a few. So, kids, stop obsessing about Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram for one moment and get on over to www.themanchestersisters.org to find out about me and the other fabulous sisters. It's as simple as that. www.themanchestersisters.org. Mwah.
You're listening to Sister Bang Bang's Chin Wagon.
My name is Cadet Paladin Lil Randy, and I'm from Vancouver, Canada.
And what brings you to this lovely city of Berlin?
Conclave 2016.
Yay! Now, you said cadet, you didn't say sister. Can you, for those who don't know, define what the difference is?
The difference is I'm a guard. So we called them paladins in Vancouver, in our abbey. So I'm heading towards that. I'm at novice stage. And so this Wednesday, my sisters will vote on whether I can become a fully professed paladin or not. And diversity is going to make it very hard, and it's going to be funny.
Sister diversity.
Sister diversity reigns, yes.
Right, okay. What is the role of a guard, of a paladin?
To assist the sisters in their ministry.
Can you give an example?
I don't know, when they're doing, hold things for them, you know, when they're handing out condoms and whatnot, I'll make sure that I have a bag of them with me and hand them some that they can hold when they're talking.
Okay.
But also in the community, not everybody is brave enough to walk up to a sister because, you know, they're a little loud and...
Yeah.
So they'll sometimes come to the person who's on the sidelines and talk to me, so, yeah.
Okay. Why did you choose to be a paladin at a guard rather than choose to be a sister?
Oh, I'm not as courageous as them in some respects.
Oh, I'm sure you are, but yeah, it's
but
okay.
But in a different way.
Yeah.
So, and I really like to be on that organizing side, and sort of, so I don't mind the background. Yeah.
Right. Okay. How long have you been training to be a guard?
Almost a year exactly, actually.
Oh, yeah. Right. So that makes sense to me. So normally about a year, isn't it, before you make the next step up in the process?
Yeah, and I'm one of those people that, like, because I knew I wanted to join them. It took me 6 months to get all of my other volunteer stuff out of the way when I realized I could join the sisters, because I thought being queer, not a gay male, I thought I couldn't join. So when I found out I could, I literally took 6 months, backed out of all my other volunteer commitments to join.
Right.
And so I'm going fast.
And it's interesting you should say that, because a lot of people do tend to think the sisters is just full of gay men, and it's not, is it?
No, it's not. Yeah, so it was really exciting when I figured that out, because I've known the sisters for years, but never even bothered to check because of what I saw, because our group was all gay male at that time when I first met them in the first couple of years, and then it changed, but I never saw it because I didn't see the other people. Yeah.
Right. What would you say? I'm deliberately planting this question on you. What are the limitations to becoming a sister or a guard?
Limitations? Are there any?
Exactly. Yeah. There are no limitations, are there?
There are no limitations.
No.
I mean, other than just... Well, no, I wouldn't call it a limitation. I just have to be good in a naughty way.
Yeah, I mean, it's just basically anybody could become a sister or a guard,
yes,
can't they?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
It's one of the few organizations that doesn't have any.
It was funny last night. A gentleman asked us if there was like sort of a lesbian contingent, and I was like, I think I know what you mean. And it was wondering, you know, where the women were, whatever, right? And it's like, No, there's no lesbian. It's you know, straight, gay, whatever gender, it's everybody. So yeah.
Whatever gender, whatever sexuality, whatever.
Whatever, exactly. Yeah.
So on your journey at the moment, what would you say is the one thing that's like really made you smile and made you really proud?
Oh, every time I go out with the sisters and do things and watch people's faces when we walk into wherever we go.
Right.
Yeah, and the reception.
Mm-hmm. How many sisters do you normally accompany?
Oh, gosh, we've been as many as 10 an event. Yeah.
Right. Wow, that's quite a good gathering. I mean, we're so used to in Conclave, which we are at the moment because we're in Berlin, last day of Conclave, and we are used to sort of like 30, 40, maybe 50 sisters around, isn't it, all the same time. You kind of get used to it, don't you, many of us.
Yeah. So there's sometimes when we're just three or four, we try to be no less than four, though, because that's just not a good representation in a way for depending on the event, unless it's a small event. But we've had, like, for certain parties, the big ones, we're usually, you know, 10.
Right.
Yeah, it's good.
So, as I said, last day of Conclave, what's the memory, the abiding memory you'll take away from Conclave?
Oh, I hope I remember all the sisters.
I was going to say, I hope I remember something.
I hope I remember something. Yeah. I think it's everybody here. And one of the biggest things I wanted was ideas. You know, because I'm so new and I wanted to see what everybody's doing and sort of get sort of new ideas, fresh ideas to bring home. And I definitely got that.
Chinwag.
I'm Sister Donovan Uday. I'm from Portland, Oregon, and I'm with the Order of Benevolent Bliss.
What's been the most fabulous thing about all of this celebration and meeting together? What's it been like?
Well, the most fabulous thing have been all the men, but the most fabulous thing among the sisters has been seeing how many people around the world share my views and my values and truly want to make the world a better place through working through our own communities. And it's very interesting. 2 years ago, at the 35th anniversary, I had never been in a group of sisters that was more than five or six. And to have the 40, 50, 60 that we had there walking down the street and we were all in white was breathtaking to me, to see how many people are doing the good work that we do.
What's your journey been like? Can you remember what your first steps were to the sisters?
Yes, actually. I had seen a sister on the internet. I'd seen a video, and my first thought was, who the fuck is she? And why does she get to be out there being outrageous, and I'm still stuck in the closet? So the first time I ever saw a sister, I was a little bit pissed off, actually.
All right.
Yes. That was actually before I had come out or before I was comfortable with being gay. And after a couple years and after I had figured out my own stuff, then I kind of got a little bit of a thought in my head where, oh, maybe I can do that. Maybe I can help people not have to go through some of the bullshit that I went through, being gay, growing up in a very religious town and a very religious state. I kind of felt that calling that maybe I could be the one that was helping other people to get through that.
Mm. So it's sort of helping you and helping others at the same time in a way.
Oh, definitely. Being a sister has helped me immensely with self-confidence and with working together in a group. Just, I have gained so much from it. So yes, we do a lot of good work, but we definitely, people say, oh, you don't get paid, it's all volunteer. But we definitely get some rewards from it for ourselves.
Absolutely. What's the next step for you then as a sister? What are the sort of things you've got planned for the future?
Well, my goals at the beginning of this year were for us in Portland to expose ourselves to more people.
That sounds inviting.
To those who've not yet had the pleasure. So yes, we are trying to get out into more places where people might not expect us or may not know who we are, because I feel like that's the best way to, A, raise more money, because you have to get into those places where the gay spaces don't necessarily have all of the people. It's 10% of the community, 20% of the community. If you get into the so-called straight places, or then you can attract more people that might be willing to help with the work you're doing. So that's the first part of the goal, but then also the way to attract more members into your house is to be out there and be a good example and, you know, do the work within your community and hopefully good people see what you're doing and want to join in with you, and you build a stronger house that way.
Chinwag with Sister Bang Bang.
Hello, I'm Sister Daphne from the Berlin OSPI.
Sister Daphne, you have, well, I think you have been part of the organisation of all this conclave, haven't you? Why did you do it?
Because it's so much fun. Well, it was a lot of work, but it was really worth everything we did for it. So we gave a bit and we got a lot of more back. It's like, I don't know exactly how to say that, but it was like bringing tons of glitter and love to Berlin, and I really appreciated that. I think I have to have 1 week rest and then overthink everything and see the pictures and say, wow, that was it. So I'm not ready.
It's still in your head, isn't it?
Yeah, it's still going around. So.
Yeah, I can see just by looking at you. It's like, what?
Because it was so amazing, I think we had just a beautiful time together and did a lot of crazy stuff and... Yeah, had a lot of fun and spread joy and, and my heart is filled with joy and love and everything.
Right. As Sister Daphne, when did your journey start? How long ago?
Well, I'm a sister for almost 16 years now.
Wow, that is quite an accomplishment, isn't it?
Yeah, but it was worth every second I did it. So, and, I will do this until the end of my life, yeah. I'm sure. And, this conclave really gave me a lot of more energy doing that. Well, you know, once in a sister's lifetime, you're thinking about, well, it's a lot of work, and you might lose a little bit of energy. And, this conclave gave me so much energy to go on, and, I'm planning to... travel more than I did before because...
Yeah, you're coming to Manchester, aren't you?
Yes. Yeah, it's on my plan. Manchester's on my plan. San Diego's on my plan. Paris, well, I was in Paris, but that's 6 years ago, so I really have to go there again. San Diego, I want to go to Dallas and to San Francisco again. So, yeah, wow. Now it's time to save some money. I think when you're on your way getting a sister or becoming a sister... you find something in yourself you haven't discovered before. And it might be hard because you have to confront yourself with things you never thought about. But I think it's good to do that. And because, first of all, I think it's important that as a sister, you have to love yourself. Because if you're not loving yourself, you're not able to love anyone else or the others. So, and that's, for some, it's hard because say, well, I love me. It sounds a little bit stupid. But I think that's very important because, to find yourself and to be settled and something like that. And that was good for me, being on the journey of becoming a sister.
Three things that people should have before considering going on a sister journey. What would those three things be?
That's a very good question.
Yeah.
You have to be sure about yourself. You have to be settled, kind of. You have to be very open-minded.
That's an understatement, isn't it? Very, very, very open-minded.
Very, very, very open-minded. You can practice while you're getting a sister. Your mind will be open more and more the longer you are a sister. I think you have to have a commitment to community work and charity. That's very important. So
yeah, it's the caring side, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Chinwag.
Sister, so am I here from Liberty, Tennessee, living with the Radical Fairies these last 30 years here for the 25th anniversary of Berlin, who I saw being born.
You did. And you are one of the founding
mothers,
sisters and mothers, weren't you?
Yes, we are. Three of us survive. Reverend Mother is now a none of the above, but Agnes... Sister Vicious, Sister Vishnu now, as the gross mutter, and myself, Sister Missionary position at the beginning, but now Sister So Am I Deluxe of the Light.
Now, you, as you said, you're here at the Sisters Conclave in Berlin.
Yep.
It's been quite a few years since you and the others started the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. Things have changed. How do you see the Sisters now through your eyes?
Amazing fundraisers across the world for our communities, especially in the larger gay meccas. Berlin, I think I saw them give out €1 to the tune of somewhere under 10,000 this conclave, and it's remarkable. San Francisco does the same kind of work. I see them also emerging as even more of a branding of our sacred clown imagery, as I've seen now the Australian houses are starting to go whiteface.
And the British ones are not far behind.
I know. There is a good energy to do that, especially when people realize, you know, it really so much isn't the habit we wear or the face we put on, but the heart we have inside to do the sister work. That's the calling, and I feel a lot of that. Certainly, I've felt it here, I see it wherever I travel. The French sisters are the ones who brought me over to this conclave, and I've found a deepening sororal bond with my French sisters as the years go on.
How proud are you now in 2016 of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence?
Certainly, I think all of us old mothers are deeply gratified. We've some of our sister old mothers who haven't been out much of late in these last couple years are reuniting and getting very active with their daughters in the San Francisco house. I think all of us, from the very beginning, we knew we were doing good service in our community, and it only deepens. The best way, I think, for us to go forward is to be like the doctors and the nurses, to be nuns beyond borders, to embrace all our sisterhoods and encourage the good work that certainly the Roman Catholic sisters who inspired us do, and to certainly move along into the 21st century and hope that dear Padre Francis starts recognizing those 300 women who are already Catholic priests to fully embrace them and help him reform his church, and we'll continue to update and reform ourselves as well. And my big encouragement to all my sisters is to see us as honorable heretics, to help Holy Father Francis update his church at least to the 16th century.
You've got a background, a theological background,
yes,
haven't you? What stopped you from continuing with that and move away?
I was with the Capuchin Franciscans as a young seminarian and started my college with them and had these gay feelings. And when I confessed them to my spiritual director, the encouragement was, oh, you need to make a heterosexual adjustment. So maybe that's why I named myself Missionary Position at the beginning, to inspire, actually, the true reason. And so I left the seminary and felt very sad about that for a long time. Tried to make that heterosexual adjustment, and it didn't take. And I happily, once after finishing a stint of teaching and realized I needed to come out, went to graduate school, got a degree, an advanced degree in broadcasting and film, but just as importantly, activated myself in the Gay Liberation Front at the University of Iowa, where Sister Vish and I, he is Kenny, me is Fred, were the co-chairs of the Gay Liberation Front and did two Midwest Gay Pride conferences, out of which we saw RFD magazine created that eventually I produced for 20 years in Tennessee. We now have it moved up to New England, but they've asked me to guest edit the winter issue, which is all going to be about us, and it's going to be a fabulous issue. I hope our sisters around the world will contribute to it. Good.
Me, yes, definitely. I'm writing it now.
Good. And we're going to have great pictures, great images. There's so much art that's been created around us. I mean, we could go without words, I think, and have a pretty spectacular issue. But thinking of words, next year, Melissa Wilcox's book, Serious Parody, is coming out from New York University Press, a very scholarly work on us. And she's extensively interviewed the sisters around the world, and that'll be great continuing academic study on us. And the series of films and documentaries on us is growing. The list on YouTube is becoming phenomenal. And so there are lots of venues and ways that people can, what are they? This group of, 1,000 to 1,500 nuns across the globe. And my roots are with a solo sister in San Francisco, Fagnana Suntafamia, who was a fiercely independent, fiercely amazing trans nun who changed my life remarkably. And as I look back on it, as much as it was the habits Kenny brought from Iowa and we put on that first Holy Saturday in 79, was the fierce politics of Sister Suntafamia, who wrote one of the heaviest curse poems that came out after Dan White killed Harvey Milk. And I've had the honor a couple of times during that grieving time to, in effect, channel Sister Assunta in public places to read her curse poem. And sometime you can sit down and record me when I have my voice. I'll do that poem and another long poem she sent us when she saw us take on the Jesuits at the University of San Francisco shortly after we did our first benefit. They had their 125th anniversary, at which they did not let it be known they had lesbian and gay groups on campus because they don't want to be embarrassed in that yearly catalog. So the lesbians and gay people protested. They asked us sisters to join them. We were 6 months old. We joined them, and the local Chronicle newspaper on Monday morning said there was one. It was a happy day to celebrate a Jesuit institution for 125 years in our city, but one thing was awry. And you can guess who that was. Wow, yeah. So we knew we had arrived.
Yeah. What was... There must have been many, many things that have happened over the years that have made you want to put your fist in the air and be really proud. Can you pull one of those events forward?
I mean, at the very beginning, and looking back on it even more so, is Play Fair. Our safe sex pamphlet that we came out with in 1982, before we were calling it AIDS. We didn't have a name for it yet, but we knew something involved with our sexuality and our sexual practices was awry. Sister Rosa Rection, the one who never quite got founding status, but was the other nun with Vish and I that first outing, was a public health nurse. And he is a sister with us. And he and Bobby Campbell, the first AIDS poster boy, who was Sister Florence Nightmare RN, were both graduate degree nurses. They got a committee of sisters together and with humor created the grandmother of all the safer sex pamphlets. And it's the Australians who a few years back contacted me and said, well, you realize, sister, the astounding and committed part of our community that tackled the AIDS epidemic, that led the way on that, was the community itself. That we had to bring pharma, we had to bring doctors, we had to bring Western medicine into the process. We revolutionized hospice care, I think, across the planet when we started dealing with our own dying. And we challenged the whole medical model to adjust itself to the activism that had come out of us. So that's an early on highlight, if you will, and thinking of probably both the 30th and 35th anniversary in San Francisco that brought our sisters together from around the world were just phenomenal opportunities to embrace this international sisterhood. And I've no doubt the organization and the generosity of the German sisters in pulling their 25th year together will start ranking in my own memory of the quality of sister care and work that we do in the world. And I'm glad to see you in the Manchester House going at it full balls, or bullocks, as they might say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, and I'm proud of all my sisters and the way we support and love and care for one another. And let's keep at it. Thank you, sis.
Sister, so am I, one of the co-founders of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence there. And that's about it for this special chinwag all about the Sisters Conclave 2016 in Berlin. Huge thanks to all those who talked to me during the show. I could have easily talked with many, many more sisters who attended. Conclave introduced me to amazing sisters from all over Europe and North America and confirmed that I had made such a good decision to join the sisterhood. If you'd like further information about the sisters and maybe coming on board, then check out the links in the description. It doesn't matter where you are in the world either. But for now, you take care. Lots of love. Bang, bang.